Shalom, this is John Parsons with Hebrew for Christians, and I welcome you to listen in as we discuss the Torah of Wrestling. Yeshua somberly warned those who professed faith, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name do many wonderful works. And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." This is found in Matthew 7:21-23. Despite the practice and profession of their faith, these people were essentially strangers to God. They had a false sense of assurance, believing they were, quote, serving God, while they really were not. So the crucial question, the essential question here is whether Yeshua truly knows you. Now, you may know a lot about religion or God or spirituality, and yet you may be unknown by him. Where do you find life? What are you loving? Where are you going? "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Yet what is the will of the Father but to trust in Mashiach and Yeshua for life? Look at John 6:40, which says, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." Those are the words of Yeshua regarding the Father's will. What must we do to be doing the works of God? Yeshua answers, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one whom he has sent." John 6:28-29. The Torah of God centers on trusting the Messiah. Look at Titus 3:5-7, where it's written, "He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Ruach HaKodesh, whom he poured out on us richly through Yeshua, the Messiah, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Again, on that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not do many wonderful or mighty works in your name? And then I will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." Now from this we see that good works, even those done in the name of Messiah, are insufficient for life, and something more is needed. Note that the word translated lawless here is anomy. It refers to being without constraint, without direction, without being under the restraining influence of the Spirit of God. And understood in context here, being without Torah is not so much about not keeping the commandments of Moses and some of those details there, as important as those are, but rather refusing the greater duty we have to embrace the truth of God's salvation given in Messiah. Now that's true lawlessness from the spiritual point of view. In other words, it's the greatest offense to heaven to disregard God's intervention on our behalf to save us from the condition of spiritual death through Messiah. That is, in its essence, the ultimate act of lawlessness. Those that deny Yeshua are those who truly deny Torah. Yeshua is the goal of Torah, its end, its fulfillment and completion for us. Yeshua is the living Torah. He is the voice of God, the word of God. And therefore, he has all authority in heaven and on earth as the lawgiver, the true king of Israel. So while the law is holy and just and good and necessary for us to understand the truth of God and his holiness, it by itself is insufficient for life, and something more, therefore, is needed. That's why Yeshua said here to those that were claiming to have kept the law or done good works in his name that he didn't know them. Even though they did those works, that was not sufficient. So what is sufficient and what is necessary and sufficient is a personal heart relationship with God. That's Torah written upon the heart. That's the Torah of love, the law of love, as expressed and manifest in Yeshua, who is the living Torah of God. However, even Yeshua's sacrifice on the cross can't bring you into relationship with him apart from receiving it for your healing. By faith, you encounter Yeshua clothed in your flesh, for your sin and suffering death for you. As long as Messiah remains outside of us, we are separated from him. Recently, in this connection, someone wrote me and said that they appreciate the ministry, but it's been a war for the past few months to believe that God accepts them despite their unacceptability, as I've said before. And they thanked me for encouraging them. And I wanted to remind this person that the question is not whether God accepts you, but whether you will believe that you are accepted by God. This is existentially where we have to orientate our posture toward God. We don't doubt that God has made provision through us. The cross. Think of the cross. Think of the garden of pain. Think of Yeshua bleeding out, dying in the dark cloud for you, absorbing your sin, absorbing your shame, absorbing your pain. Think of all that. And then it's no longer a question of whether God accepts you, but whether you are going to receive that you are accepted. That's where the struggle lies, and that's where you have to keep your focus. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. And again, this will of God is for you to encounter the risen truth of Messiah, the life of Messiah, to encounter the risen Messiah, to know him, to give him your trust, to impart to you the blessing, to take hold of what God has done. Now, some people feel frightened when they consider this, that the Lord might say to them, I never knew you. But this fear arises only if we miss Yeshua's point. Good works can't save you, even those performed in the Savior's name. What saves you is trusting in God's great love for your life. At least that's what salvation means in relation to your own personal encounter with God. What truly saves you is the act of salvation itself, given through God's sovereign act and through the giving of His Son. I don't want to confuse the issues here, but that is what truly saves you, is God's power. Salvation is of the Lord. But our faith response is critical, and that's how we personally receive salvation and have it alive within our hearts. Again, this is expressed by many things that Yeshua said. For example, this is the work of God, to trust in the one whom God has sent for you. This is John 6:28 and 29 again. Genuine salvation is from the Lord. That is, it comes as a result of his loving intervention on your behalf. Look at Titus 3:5 through 7 again, Ephesians 2:8 through 10. This is the will of the Father, the true Torah of the Lord, namely to honor Messiah and know him, know his love by faith. It's important, know his love by faith. You trust him for eternal life. You believe that he bears your sin. You seek to know his heart, and you desire to share your life with him. It's lawlessness to reject the Torah of the Lord that commands us to follow Messiah and to know him in all our ways, including the ways of our struggles, our fears, and so on. Each of us must wrestle alone in the dark places of fear to find our new name from God. Look at Genesis 32:24. The question is this: is the blessing for you or not? The essential thing, the crucial thing, is to know, and more importantly, to be known by Yeshua. It's a matter of trust, of sharing your heart, being real with him, walking with him, loving him, calling on his name. This is the work of God, to trust in the one whom God has sent for you. Trusting in the Lord means accepting that you are truly loved and made safe because of who God is. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, Romans 1:16. It's a miracle of being in a right relationship with God. We are pursued by his love, and he haunts us until we surrender to his will. Like Jonah, we must first be swallowed up in consciousness of our own rebellion before we realize we're undone, that we're without remedy apart from God's loving intervention and deliverance. So we start there, in the belly of the fish, so to speak, and later are resurrected to go forth by God's mercy and grace. As we look to Yeshua, as we lean on him, he reveals more of himself to us. He gives us grace upon grace and strength upon strength. Whether Yeshua is living in you and you are living in him is the most important question of your life and upon which everything else will turn. The great mystery is Messiah in you, the hope of glory, as it says in Colossians 1:27. As Leonard Ravenhill once said, I don't ask people if they're saved anymore. I look them straight in the eye and say, does Christ live inside you? Indeed, he is present right now for you in this moment. Are you connected with him in the truth? Are you drawing life from his life? Do you really live in Yeshua? God is making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Messiah. Be reconciled to God. That's from 2 Corinthians 5:20. I'm not going to say any of this is easy. You know, some people think that salvation by faith leads to easy believism or sloppy agape. They sort of mock this idea. There's nothing easy about truly believing and trusting in God. Nothing at all. And those who say things like that probably don't know what it means to truly trust in God. Beware of false teachers. Beware of those who mock other people, mock Christians, other messianic ministries who appeal to carnal pride and fleshly insight as if somehow they're better. They're the first tier Christians, top shelf kind of believers. Beware. Look, each of us must wrestle alone in the dark places of fear to receive our new name from God. Again, I ask, is the blessing for you or not? Are you willing to be loved and accepted by God? That's the key. Are you willing? What is your name? What do you call yourself? You cannot know God apart from his love, yet for some people that is exactly where the struggle lies. Look within your heart. Test yourself. Do you believe God cares for you? Do you believe he loves you? Can you call yourself the beloved of God? Are you able to receive and welcome that love and make that the core reality of your existence? Take hold of the promise and do not let go until you know who you are in his love, in relationship to his love. This is a dialectic of faith, and you only become a true self. You only will inherit or receive your inheritance of the true self as you know God in his love, the love given in Messiah. That is the ultimate reward, to be in relationship with him, to hear him say, I do know you. This is the great reward. This is the eternal reward, to be in relationship with the eternal and to have a love connection there that's solid. That's heaven. That's really what heaven is. It's not about crowns on your head or you know, big reward ceremonies. Some of that imagery may have traction in some sense spiritually, but ultimately the reward is Yeshua himself and you being in relationship to him in the truth. Yeshua said this, to the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on that stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. Revelation 2:17. So there is a name for you, a reserved name for you, a unique name, an Ehye name, I am that I am name, that's in relation to the true God, the one and only, the Almighty. Now, in light of all this, let's repeat some affirmations of faith. Try to enter into this existentially. Try to really make your heart latch on to these truths. So here we go. I am a beloved child of God. That's from John 1:12, Ephesians 5:1, Romans 8:15. I am fully known by God and he accepts me unconditionally. That's from Ephesians 1:6. Yeshua died so that I could live. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I am safe because of God's love for me. John 5:24, John 10:28 through 30, Romans 15 verse 7. God is always with me. Isaiah 41:10, Matthew 28:20, John 6:37, Hebrews 7:25. The Lord will never leave me nor forsake me. Hebrews 13:5, Deuteronomy 31:6, Psalm 23 verse 6. Nothing can separate me from God's unfailing and invincible love. Romans 8:35 through 39. I am not condemned. John 3:18, John 5:24, Romans 8:1. I have crossed over from death to life. John 5:25, John 8:51, John 10:28. I am saved and will not come to shame. Romans 10:9 through 13, Psalm 27. I am forgiven and declared righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Romans 1:17, Romans 3:24. I have been personally chosen by God to know him. John 15 verse 6, Colossians 3:12, Ephesians 1:11, Romans 8:29 through 30. I am secure by the power of God. Jude 1:24 through 25, Romans 8:29 through 30 again, Philippians 1:6. God hears my prayer and meets my need. Psalm 4, verse 3, Philippians 4, 19, 1 John 5, 14, and 15. I have peace with God. Romans 5, 1, Romans 16, 20, 1 Corinthians 1, 3, Philippians 4, 7. God cares for me and doesn't want me to be anxious. 1 Peter 5, 7, Philippians 4, 6, John 14, verse 1. God himself prepares a place for me. John 14, verse 1 through 4. I am welcome at God's table. Matthew 22, 1 through 14. God delights to hear my voice. Matthew 7, 7 and 8, Luke 11, 9, Hebrews 4, 16, Psalm 33, verse 1. I am no longer a slave to fear or to sin. Romans 6, 6, Galatians 5, 1. I am set free to love. I am healed of my hardness of heart. John 8, 36, Colossians 2, 11. I am a new creation, subject to the law of the Spirit of life, 2 Corinthians 5, 17, Romans 8, 2. I am a vessel of the Holy Spirit, a messenger of grace, 1 Corinthians 3, 16, John 14, 17. I am blessed with every blessing in the Messiah, Ephesians 1, 3, every spiritual blessing, as well as the best blessing. God imparts to me wisdom and light, Ephesians 5, 8, John 8, 12, Colossians 1, 13, Psalm 27 again. Even if I physically die, I will live with God forever. John 11, 25 through 26. I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me. Philippians 4, 13. There's many others. Many other affirmations, of course, in Scripture. These are just some. But note the theme, the compassion. Feel the compassion of God. Feel the promise. Take hold of these things because they are what will give you the power to overcome the darkness, despair, and lies of Satan. The entire world system is structured upon a scheme that is embedded in the lie. This is where Satan gets his power, by lying, by perverting and corrupting the message of truth. Now, God has given us all, in a sense, a radio receiver, I'm using a metaphor here, to hear his voice and to attune ourselves to moral and spiritual reality, namely through the conscience, and through seeking his face by prayer and supplication. And so we can know, it says in the book of Romans, of course, chapter 1, we know that there is a God, and God has manifested and shown himself to us. So every human soul has access to God, but the extra step of faith here is to take hold of the blessing of God, to receive the new name, to become identified with the truth of Yeshua, to understand your heritage, your inheritance in him, as a spiritual Jew, as one circumcised by the Spirit of God, a circumcision made without hands, as it says in Romans 2, as one who has been completed by the covenants of God and given grace by heaven through trusting in God's salvation and his Son. There is a blessing there for you. You might have to wrestle. You might have to wrestle in faith to fully take hold of your identity in Messiah, but may God help you answer to the new name he's calling out to you. What is this name, you ask? Well, that's for you to answer. That's for you to wrestle through, to receive. But to give you a hint, it's being the Beloved. Blessed be Adonai, Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who has blessed us in heavenly places with every spiritual blessing in Messiah. So shalom, my friends. Stay strong. Don't give in. Don't yield to despair. Don't look at surface appearances. Judge righteous judgment. Look beyond this temporal world of shadows and decay, this cosmic graveyard, and see the unseen good, the unseen promise, the truth of God that will indeed be manifest soon and in our day. Let it come, Lord. Let it come, please. Let these words touch the hearts of those who are seeking you, Lord. Let them be encouraged and strengthened by your Holy Spirit. Please, Father, I ask this B'Shem Yeshua Mashiachenu. Thank you for hearing us, Lord. So shalom, my friends, and Messiah Yeshua. May it always be well with you. May you know the depths and breadth and width of God's love for you. May that be your core reality. Shalom. If you've enjoyed this audio presentation, please visit us at the web, www.hebrewforchristians.com, and learn more about the Hebrew roots of your faith and your heritage as the beloved of Messiah.